This week's parsha, we learn about the conclusion of all the makos, the 10 makos, the incredible miracles, punishments that on some level is the basis of a lot of our munen in Hashem. Spectacular. And the more you learn the psukim, and Rashi, and the Medrash, layers and layers and layers of what happened in Mitzrayim become alive. It's really incredible. And it's brought down in the name of the Arizal, that the Arizal says that Bnei Yisrael became so entrenched in the Tumah, in the impurity of Egypt, they were already deep in the 49th level of Tumah, of impurity. And they were getting closer to the 50th level. And therefore, Hashem had to immediately, b'chipazon, in a haste way, take them out very quickly from Mitzrayim. Because if they would have stayed there even one more moment, they would have hit level 50, and that's it. They wouldn't have been able to leave Egypt. This is something that's commonly spoken about in the name of the Arizal. So I bet you didn't know this, but there were those who argued on the Arizal and said that this is not possible. This isn't true. Where is this question brought down? So there was a great, great, great Kabbalist known as the Leshem. The Leshem was, his name was Rav Shlomo Elyashiv. He was the grandfather of Rav Yosef Shalom Elyashiv, the father-in-law of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Some of us had maybe the opportunity to meet Rav Elyashiv. He was only nifter not so long ago. The gadol ador of the last generation, of this generation, was his grandfather, Rav Shlomo Elyashiv. He wrote a Kabbalistic sefer called the Leshem. The reason was because it was based on the words Leshem, Shavo, Vachlama, and the middle letters of those three words. The Leshem has the letter Shin, Shavo has the Bet, and the Achlama is the Chet. Shin represented Shlomo, the Bet is Ben, and Vachlama, the Chet, is Chaim, Ben Chaim. Shlomo Ben Chaim, that was his name. He was a great Kabbalist. The Sefer is based on the writings of the Arizal and of the Vilna Gaon, Kabbalistic writings of the Vilna Gaon. And just to appreciate the level of depth of this Sefer, when the Ben Ish Chai, who lived in Baghdad, when he received a copy of this Sefer, the Leshem, he put on his Shabbos clothes, he lit candles, and he made a bracha of Shechianu. And all his students in Baghdad, he would send to Yerushalayim to meet the holy Leshem. The Chafetz Chaim said about the Leshem that many people are able to build worlds, spiritual worlds in this world. The Leshem was able to build spiritual worlds in this world and in the next world. The Leshem was beyond. I think Rav Elyashiv himself actually wrote the Leshem. He transcribed it. He was 13 years old when Rav Yosef Shalom Elyashiv wrote his grandfather's book, The Leshem. Okay. With that introduction, the Leshem asks the following question on the Arizal. Now, just it's very, very important for everyone to know. I know we're all Kabbalists here, but I did not see this in the side. No one should think that I actually saw this. I have not learned the Leshem. We'll talk about it later. No, I did not learn the Leshem, but it's quoted in a sefer called Eish Tamid from Yisrael Meir Druk on the Parsha, and he quotes the question as follows. He says, let's understand this for a minute. In Israel, we're entrenched in the 49th level of Tumah. What impurity was there exactly? So a lot of times in our mind, we think of impurity, we think about arayos, incest, illicit relationships, right? But that's not true. Because we know from later in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Chavav Pasakeh, that the Psukim, when it's listing the yichus, the lineage of the Jewish people, it says, for the family called Chanoch, they call him Ha-Chanochi, or Palu, Ha-Palui, or Chetzron, Ha-Chetzroni. There's a He in the beginning and a Yud before each of the family names. And Chazal say, why is that? Because He and Yud is the letters of Hashem's name, And Hashem is testifying that every person was part of their family, properly linked to their family. There was no incest. There was no mixing going around that this tribe mixed with this one or this family mixed with that one. Everyone was staying kosher. Everyone was doing what they were supposed to be doing. The Jewish people did not stoop down to the 49th level of Arayos type of impurity in Egypt. So what was the impurity? What were they? What was so bad? Must be the only alternative is Avodah Zarah, that they idol worship or not believing in Hashem. It just got so bad, the society, the environment of Egypt, where it was all about other gods, etc. It must be the Jews just were totally influenced that they got down, 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 down. And like the Rizal says, if it would have been one more second, they'd have to get out. They would not be able to get out, and therefore Hashem had to speedily take them out. Chipazon. But asks Aleshem, that can't be. Because what happened? Till the Makos began, right? Until last week's Parsha, the Jews, they were okay staying in Egypt, right? We didn't have to yank them out quickly. They were influenced by society. They were getting deeper into Avodah Zarah and not believing in Hashem. But we didn't have to get them out yet. And what happened? After the Makos, after the 10 incredible, awesome revelations of Hashem, they went even deeper into not believing in Hashem, and now we got to get them out? What happened? If they were okay till the Makos started, the Makos only should have helped them, should have only elevated them in their belief in Hashem. So how could it be that they got lower and lower after the Makos, that they had to go out in next week's Parsha B'chipazon and get them out fast? How could that be? Doesn't make any sense. Great question, huh? So good that the Leshem says it's impossible that Arizal ever said such a thing. And he disagrees with one of our most favorite Dvar Torahs on the Seder night. Okay. However, Rav Chaim Vital, student of the Arizal, brings this idea in the name of the Arizal. In fact, later on, it was found in some Midrashim that speak about how the Jewish people ended up down in the depths of the 49th level of Tumah. Mm-hmm. So how do we answer this question? What changed before the Makos where it was okay for them to stay in Egypt? And after the Makos where they sank even lower, even though it was a clear, blatant exhibition of Hashem throughout the world? So answers are drawn as follows. This is a big yesod for our lives on two different fronts. He says that until the Makos, while the Jewish people were still there, they all knew there was a secret code that they were talking about behind closed doors. The secret was passed down from Yaakov to Yosef to all the Jewish people. Everyone knew that there was going to be someone that would come and say the magic words, Pakod Pakadati, that I've come to redeem you. When those words would come, you know that that person is the Redeemer and he's going to take you out. And therefore, before the Makos, they were deep down. They were in bad shape in their Emunah and Hashem. But they were holding on still, they were with that hope, the tikvah, that Hashem was still going to help them. They still hadn't heard the Pakod Pakarti from anyone. They didn't know who that Redeemer was. And therefore, they were still waiting. He's going to come. He's going to take us out. They were still hanging on for dear life that they will be redeemed at some point. What happened? Comes Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says the word, Pakod Pakarti. I'm here. It's me. And all of a sudden, he does all of these incredible miracles. The Makos, fireworks flying all over the place. But Paro isn't budging. Paro is not being influenced by anything. He's not moving. So all of a sudden, the Jewish people started to lose hope. They said, if Paro isn't moving, if it's not moving him, it must be that it's not true. We were brought up our whole lives. We thought, Pakod Pakadati, that's it. It's going to be over. And it came. And yet we're seeing amazing stuff, but Paro is just continuing like normal. Nothing is changing. It must be that it's not true. And they lost hope. And when they lost hope, there was nothing to keep them alive, and they were about to be finished. They would never be able to leave Mitzrayim, and Hashem had to take them out right away. We actually see this idea that Rashi, in this week's parsha, by the Makkah of Choshech, he says, why do we need 3 days of darkness? So Rashi, in Perek Yud Pasuk Chav Beis, he brings from the Medrash, because there were many Rishayim, many evil people from the Israelites that ended up dying in the Makkah of Choshech. And in order for the Egyptians not to see all these people die, Hashem made an incredibly thick darkness so that no one would know about it. But most of the Jews did not leave Egypt. So the rush in the back of the Mikras Gedolos Chumash asks, but if the evil people died in the Makkah of Choshech, why did Dasan and Aviram, two people that would cause lots of problems for the Jewish people after they left Egypt, not die? They were pretty bad. Why didn't they die? And the Rush answers, because they still hoped that they would be redeemed. People who hoped for the redemption were redeemed. The ones who didn't hope, who just gave up, it's impossible. So they lost their lifeline and they weren't able to be saved. So what do we see from here? 2 things, one small and one, I think, humongous. The first is that you can never lose hope. Never. Sometimes you think that in life, it's not going well. It's not going the way you want. You don't know how in the world is this going to turn out for the good. How am I going to make this through this? And people despair. People lose hope. People fall into depression. I can't function. I can't come into yeshiva today. I can't go to work today. I can't talk to my wife today. They just lose it. You never can lose hope. We always have to remember that Hashem is by our side. Hashem could always help us, just like He's helped generation after generation, the Jewish people, the biggest testimony, the fact that we're standing here today. Never, ever lose hope. That's not easy, but we can never, ever, ever lose hope. But I want to point out something else. And this, I think, is the plague, really no pun intended, of our generation. And that is as follows. What happened to the Jewish people? They knew, everyone knew. Yaakov was a tzaddik. Yosef was a tzaddik. He saved everyone. He saved all the Egyptians. And they passed down through tradition, pakot pakadati, if you say the words, you're going to be redeemed. Didn't mean in 5 seconds you're going to be redeemed, but you'll be redeemed. Okay. So they heard the words. They heard the words, pakot pakadati. Moshe is going to take them out, and all of a sudden, the world starts flying and It's out of control what's going on. Next week's parsha, Shimu Amim Yirgazun, Chila Chaz Yoshei Plashes, Aznevalu Alufei Adom, Elei Moab, Yechazei Murad, all the nations, which everyone knew, everyone saw what was going on. So what happened? But they said to themselves, but Paro's not budging. Paro's a smart guy. He's a leader. He's successful. He's not believing. He's not listening. You know, maybe it's not true. Maybe the tradition isn't correct. Maybe what we're seeing in front of our eyes isn't exactly the way we see it. They lost hope because there was one powerful person that wasn't believing. He wasn't biting. A lot of times, we speak about this all the time. You get a group, they come to a discovery seminar, and they're just blown away. And then they pull out their phone and they Google codes. And they see 80 billion people. No, that's too much. Okay. 80 million people go on and they say, oh, it's not true. Okay. Oh, it's not true. 80 million people on Google say it's not true. Must be it's not true. They didn't even read the article. This can't be. Right? Or you start believing, it's so obvious, the fact that our biological system, the fact that we're alive and we're able to breathe, we're able to go to the bathroom, all these types of things. It's like, you don't really need a discovery seminar, but all of a sudden, but other people say, no, but maybe, can't prove it. And all of a sudden, yeah, you know, maybe. You know, maybe it's not true. I'm not so motivated today. Because I see other people don't believe in it. Or, you know what, let's forget all that for a second. I'm sitting and learning, I'm steiging. I'm spending extra time in the Beis Medrash. I'm learning at night, I'm learning on my Fridays, I'm learning on my Shabbases. Friday night, Shabbos day. I'm pushing and I'm learning. But there are other people that, they don't think learning Torah is that important. It's enough, an hour a day. You're a good person if you learn an hour, that's enough. So what am I doing? That person's very smart, very appreciated and looked up to in the community, and he's an hour a day guy. So what am I really doing? And all of a sudden, everything that we believe in, everything we know to be true, zero suffix. We have no doubt, it's obvious. But because that other guy, who's also powerful, who also smart, we start to rethink our core belief system. And all of a sudden, we fall apart. That is what happened to those Jews. They fell down because Paro wasn't believing. So, but the Makos, I mean, come on. He's crazy. At a certain point, you have to say the guy is nuts. Right? But no, maybe. And all of a sudden, you're finished. And obviously it didn't turn out for majority ended up dying in Makos Choshech. But the rest had to be taken up in Chippazon. The Jewish people were falling for it. We have to make sure in our lives, there are things that are obvious. No, you know what? There are things that we have to work through. But after we work through them, they become obvious to us. They are our core beliefs. We know it's true. We want to build off of them. We want to act based on them. Though there's a red line. But we will encounter many, many, many people that don't feel the same exact way. Many people that are going to be acting differently. Many people that are looked up to and given lots of honor. And we're going to have to make a decision. Are they crazy? Or are they, sometimes they're not crazy. They're very, very good people. But that's not what we believe in. That is not what my inner motivator is. Or no. They're right. And many, many have fallen. In yeshiva, it's easy sometimes to remember these things and to stay with our head on. And then we get pulled out. Or we go out. Rightfully so. And all of a sudden, we meet those people. And we get pulled left and right. We have to make sure to always review what is it that we believe, what is pushing us, what are we striving for, where are we going, how are we going to get there, and not let the rest of the world tell us that we should be going in a different direction. And Be'ezus Hashem, if we stay to our core and we keep on pushing it and strengthening it and building off of it, rock solid, we'll all be zochet to tremendous, tremendous, tremendous growth, incredible hatzlacha. We'll be all, for sure, taken out of our own mitzrayims or any difficulties that we're in, but we'll also see tremendous, tremendous growth that we never would have ever believed without it. Shavua Tov.